Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has commanded every one of us to be students of His word. And like a schoolboy, there are times when we may be a little bit tired, we may have our mind on other things, but every one of us who really are honest, when we open the Bible and when we read the Word of God with a heart to understand, we're always blessed, we're always enriched by the time we take in studying the Word of God.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible Word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 12, reading down through verse 21. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. What an interesting verse. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the wisdom we find in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our families, strengthen our testimony because of what we learn in your word tonight. Help all of us to take the attitude that we're still the students. We're still learning and growing. And we'll thank you for this time in your word as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all of the young people in school, like us when we were in school, look forward to getting out of school. And they count the days, and they look forward to the vacations, the springtime vacation, the winter vacation. And yet the fact of the matter is that every one of us, no matter our age, no matter our station in life, if we were honest, we're still students tonight. And that's the will of God for our lives, that we would continue to learn and grow in the eternal principles of God. In essence, no one is ever out of school. And certainly in my own life, the last several weeks, the Lord's been speaking to me about so many things, and some of those, no doubt, in years to come will be very, very relevant and helpful as we share those, I trust, as the Lord schools us along. But one of the main things that I can simply testify of tonight is the fact that I've been learning that I'm still a student. I've been learning that I have a lot more to learn. And I really believe God wants all of us to keep that childlike spirit when it comes to growing in the Christian life. And especially tonight as we open the book of Proverbs and we come to class, I believe there's something here for all of us to learn. You know, in today's Christian era, many people believe that they can get by with less and less Bible reading and less church. It's amazing. Churches that once had strong Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible studies, many of them now have a very brief Sunday morning service, and that's about it. But I am convinced of the fact that we need to apply our hearts to the Word of God, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Oh, it may not be easy to pull aside on a Wednesday night and drive into church and sit down and open up our Bibles and drive home afterwards and so forth, but it is very needed in the day in which we live. 33 times the word instruction is mentioned in the Bible. And of those 33 times, 25 of them are in the book of Proverbs. 25 times in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says we're to hear the instruction of a father. We're to hear the instruction of God. And one of the very important aspects of Proverbs is that God is giving to us, His students, counsel that we might grow and that we might continue to learn. One of the first Bible verses that I learned was 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has commanded every one of us to be students of His word. And like a schoolboy, there are times when we may be a little bit tired, we may have our mind on other things, but every one of us who really are honest, when we open the Bible and when we read the Word of God with a heart to understand, we're always blessed, we're always enriched by the time we take in studying the Word of God. And I don't know what New Year's resolutions you made, but I hope that you have made some that really revolve around the Bible, really revolve around Bible reading, Bible study, your Sunday school class, church attendance, and that your desire is to still be a student in 2010, learning and growing in the Word of God. I want you to notice with me tonight from this particular text, the student's responsibility. For all of you that would say, yep, I'm still a student, that's why I'm here tonight, I want to start tonight with the student's responsibility. Notice in verse 12, it says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Now, God says, I want you to hear your responsibility is to apply your heart to instruction. And I think all of us would say that during the good times, it is as if the words of instruction are somewhat faint. But during the times of pain and suffering, God's instruction is like a megaphone for us to hear. In other words, we hear things more clearly when we're going through a difficult time. For example, your family life right now might be perfect. You and your spouse are doing great. The kids are always obedient. They always say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. They always smile when they're asked to do their chores. They're making straight A's in school. You may have everything going great in your family. And so this message is going to be A-OK, but, you know, not that really relevant for the moment. On the other hand, you may be going through a difficult time with your family. And when you're having that type of difficulty or pain, you tend to listen much more carefully. Well, God says we should listen that way all the time, because whether we're in a crisis right now or whether there's one coming around the corner, we're going to need the Word of God to draw upon in order to respond properly in life. And so He says, first of all, the responsibility of a student is to apply the instruction that we're receiving. Apply thine heart unto instruction. Let's say that together. Apply thine heart. Sometimes we talk about the mission fields and the receptiveness of the mission fields. Mission fields like the Philippines or like Haiti. And these types of places are a blessing to go and preach and minister in for one reason, because the people often apply their hearts to the instruction. They want the instruction. They don't have the many entanglements that we have in the Western world, and their hearts are more open to the Word of God. But God says we need to approach His Word with a desire for the instruction. The word apply has the idea of bringing our heart into it. Bringing our heart into it. And, you know, it's fun to teach someone who wants to hear what you have to say. And sometimes we have to teach teachers how to create a desire for learning and how to show the need for it. But friend, the fact of the matter is, all of us, when it comes to the Bible, need to apply our hearts, need to bring our heart to the matter. Some of you know that our daughter, Danielle, broke her kneecap last week. And so her husband, Peter, is preaching in Tennessee tonight. So Danielle and our grandson have been staying at our house for a few days, and her leg's up. She can't really do a lot for the baby right now, and so we've been helping her out. But it's been fun to have baby Camden at our house. And one of the things I've noticed as I've watched him, I've been reminiscing and remembering when our kids were smaller, when a young baby like that, 2-3 months old, gets hungry, they have ways of letting you know. Of course, the first way is they start crying,
And so then you get them a little bit closer, maybe get a bottle ready. And about the time you get that bottle, you ever notice how babies, their hands start doing this, their feet start kicking. They can't really focus much. They can't say much, but their mouth's wide open, you know, and they're kind of grunting and groaning, grunting, groaning. And boy, that bottle goes in and they start taking that milk in. And I'm telling you what, they're applying themselves to getting that food. I mean, they are ready for that meal. Well, God says, I want my children to come to my word with that spirit. You know, that's the way to come tonight. It might be one verse, it might be one principle, but God, I want to get something tonight that I can use in my life. Now, the Bible speaks of the word instruction, as we said, 33 times, and it speaks of disciplines, chastening, correction. It speaks of setting a course in our life. So we're here tonight to have the course set and to have the direction set. Think of 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 3, verse 16 is in your notes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Notice this, for instruction in righteousness. Let's say that together. For instruction. Now, at work, they might teach you how to sell. They might teach you how to be motivated. They might teach you how to build something. They might teach you how to have some type of sensitivity towards certain situations. They can teach you in a lot of different areas, but the Word of God will give you instruction in righteousness. And we need more of that kind of instruction in our lives today. And so our hearts are to be ready to receive the Word of God. Proverbs 22 and verse 21 says it this way, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. And so instruction comes through the ears, and then instruction is applied to the heart. Now, a lot of times we, in classes with children, we want to make sure they're listening. We want to make sure that they can hear it with their ears. Why? Not just for the head knowledge, but so that from the heart, they can apply themselves to the wisdom of God. Probably the classic book, if you ever want to really study the book of Proverbs, probably the all-time classic book was written back in the late 1800s by a man named Charles Bridges. And Bridges said concerning learning these words, "The best taught and most advanced Christian will be most earnest in seeking more instruction and will most gladly sit at the feet of the Lord's ministers to hear the words of truth." In other words, the more you know and the more you've learned, the more you realize you are still a student and you still want to grow. And I've seen that with men and women who've studied the Bible 40 or 50 years. And you might say, let's turn to John 3:16. They never have the attitude of been there, done that. They always recognize there's something there for them in the eternal Word of God. And what a blessing to apply our hearts to instruction. But then God says, I don't want you merely to apply your heart to the instruction of the written Word. But secondly, He wants us to apply our hearts to His correction, to the correction that He will bring in our lives through His Word and of course, through the family structure. Notice in verse 13, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, the Bible gives us direction. The Bible establishes basic principles in the family. For example, children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. They're to honor their father and mother. These are basic biblical principles. And when those are laid down from the Word of God because of a family that's applying the instruction, God says, I want these to become the standard in your home. And when these standards are not met, I want you to remind your children that they're violating a biblical standard. And if there's no honor or obedience shown, then there is to be correction. Now notice, first there's a negative type of correction. And this is spoken of in verse 13. And it speaks in the sense here, correcting the child, speaking in the term of corporal punishment. And oftentimes pastors in this era just kind of jump over these verses because of the fact that someone might sit in church and they are not a balanced Christian. They're not a loving disciplinarian, and they just kind of haul off and hit their kids somehow, and they wind up at the emergency room, and the kid's got a cut under his eye because of what a parent called discipline, and they get in there, and the mandatory reporters there at the hospital say, how in the world did this happen? And the young Christian goes, pastor said, withhold not correction. He said they wouldn't die if we beat them, you know, and a lot of pastors, they don't want to get in the middle of that. And so they don't even touch on these verses. But let me say that the Bible does advocate corporal punishment, but it is to be done in love and in balance, and it is never to be done in anger. Never to be done in anger. And nothing grieves me more when I see a Christian parent jerking their arm of their kid out of the arm socket, striking them or something of this nature. And if I ever see that here at the church, I would immediately tell the parent they're out of line. Someone say, well, it's my kid. Well, no, it's the Lord's kid. And we ought to set an example of loving them. And let me say, if you're a father or mother given to a temper, and your child is directly disobedient, they're defiant, they're disrespectful, they're doing something that's going to require correction, probably the best thing for you to do is send them to their room and let them take some time to wait and think about what they've done, and you go spend some time in prayer. And, you know, we always say, our parents would say, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. And we always say, yeah, right, it's not going to hurt you as much as it's going to hurt me. But, you know, if you love your child and you recognize that this is necessary, but it's not what you'd like to do, it really does hurt you more than it hurts them. And that ought to be the spirit when you're dealing with a child. And many parents in our church over the years have had to learn how to establish a standard and then keep the standard. Dr. Gibbs told me one time concerning the matter of leading and training a staff. He said, Brother Chapel, he said, the standard is not what you write down on paper. The standard is what you will allow and tolerate in the lifestyle of the staff. In other words, you can have a manual of come in at 8 o'clock and clock out for lunch or whatever the manual says, but if it's not kept, then you really have an alternate type of standard. And it's true in the home. If you're going to say to your children, you're not going to speak to your mother that way, and then you allow them to do that, then you really have an alternate standard. And so God says, I want you to apply your heart to the instruction, and then I want you to know that that's my instruction to the point that you would make sure that you would correct your children when wrong behavior develops so that you might turn them away from wrong and toward what is right. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And God is simply establishing something that has been lost in America, and that is this, that if there will be loving correction, if there will be consistent authority in the home, then that respect for authority will develop first of all into a general respect for authority, police authority, teachers in the schools. But more than that, moms and dads, we want our children to have an awe and a fear of Almighty God. And we want them to know that God is a God of love, and we want to provide and bless our children verbally and materially and in every way. We also want to correct them so that they know God is a God of justice and righteousness. And many, many young people who have no discipline or no love or all of one or all of the other have a difficulty later in life understanding the attributes of God because they were not always seeing those attributes as they should in the Christian home. And so we want to have the balance of godly instruction and godly correction. And so there is negative correction that is sometimes needed. And those that want to take a more philosophical, psychological approach and say that they would never want to apply corporal punishment or never want to give some type of discipline, oftentimes see the fruit of that in their children. But notice, secondly, there's a needed correction mentioned in verse 14, and it elaborates a little more by saying, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, what an amazing statement. And again, the word beat does not imply child abuse. It does not imply some type of out of control. And I believe God has provided a place on the human body for such correction. And it has quite a bit of padding. And God wants us to use that, I believe. But the Bible says here in verse 14, notice this, deliver his soul from hell. You know, a child that is left without correction many times will turn away from the Lord, will reject salvation, will find their life a complete tragedy, spiritually speaking. There's a principle or an example of that in the Old Testament with Eli. The Bible says of Eli the priest in 1 Samuel 3:13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And because Eli did not restrain his sons, there came a judgment. And the Bible is clear that when we restrain our children, we can preserve them from greater problems down the road in their life. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And many times parents in this day, especially in split family situations, feel that they can somehow make up for lost time by material blessings on the child only. But children need to know the boundaries, and children need to know that you love them enough to set and keep boundaries. Love is not shown simply by giving material blessings. It's by consistent boundaries in their life. And so God's word speaks of this, that if you spare the rod many times, you really are not showing love. You're showing just the opposite. And so our responsibility as families that are still learning is that we would hear the instruction and that we would hold the line in love, and that we would speak the truth in love and always follow the principles of the Word of God in love. That's the student's responsibility. Now, every wise husband here is still a student. And every wise dad or granddad or grandmother, all of us are still students tonight, learning how to train up a child in the way they should go. Notice, secondly tonight, the student's reward. If we follow the instruction and maintain the direction, what is the reward that we can expect? Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now, the student's reward. First of all, the Bible says we can expect favor from God's wisdom. When we apply the wisdom of God to our lives, there will come favor into our lives. Verse 15 speaks of this. If thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. God says, I want you to have a wise heart. It's not about accomplishments. It's not about possessions. It's about having a wise heart. Now, let's just think of this for a moment. Every one of us would love to see our children succeed in some area of life. We're naturally proud of them when they have some good accomplishment. And we are well within the realm of normalcy and proper parenting to congratulate them when they do something right. And many parents are happy when their children complete college or when they land a good job or whatever the case might be. But what the Bible is emphasizing in the book of Proverbs is this. More than you want your child to have a good career or a certain GPA, more than you want those things, you want them to have a heart for God. Okay? That's not to minimize their GPA. That's not to minimize their successes. But the fact is that the fundamental responsibility of the Christian home is to cultivate a heart for God. And God says that when they have a wise heart, He is pleased with that. And his heart shall rejoice. 2 Timothy 3:15 speaks of a young man who had that heart. Notice that in your notes. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so a wise heart is produced. And what a blessing when right choices are made by our children. And listen very carefully. When they get an A, congratulate them. But when they say the truth, when they could have said wrong, congratulate them more. And when they make a right choice in life, congratulate them more. And let them know that you're proud of the right decisions made from the heart. God says we'll have a wise heart. And then we'll have a bold profession. Verse 16. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. The Lord says, and Solomon is saying to his son Rehoboam, when you say the right things, from my heart, I'm going to rejoice that you said the right things. And what a blessing it is to hear a young person testify for the Lord. I don't know about you, but when our teenagers stand and sing, I get a blessing out of that. When we have a patriotic program and the young men proclaim love for God and country, I am blessed by that. And God says that there's a reward that comes to a consistent family getting biblical principles, correcting when those principles are violated. The reward is that God is going to favor that individual that honors him. Now, Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." And we want our children not simply to have an education, but to have wisdom, to know how to use knowledge, to know how to make right decisions. And so there's favor from God's wisdom. And then secondly, there's the favor of God's reward. God is going to give reward to those who follow his principles. Notice, if you would, in verse 17, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall be cut off." You know, in this day where there's high-profile sports figures and high-profile business figures and all of these people that seem to be so successful, we need to make sure that we're not simply emphasizing talent, but we're emphasizing character. And one of the things that that the Lord gave to me as a principle early on in ministry, when we were really still in our 20s and the church was beginning to grow, trying to bring staff in, and this has been one of the principles that God gave to me, is this: you don't honor talent over character. You don't go out like the world with a headhunting mentality, "We're looking for talent." What we look for in this place of ministry is character. Does this person have integrity? Does this person have a real walk with God? And I'm simply saying, you may have a son who can jump up, turn around six times, and slam dunk the basketball, but if he has an attitude towards his teacher, or he disrespects his mother, or he's cursing in the locker room, my friend, that is not pleasing to God. And in this society that elevates talent, 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 it better come back to the place in Christian homes where we congratulate character and where we say, "That was great." I like to watch our sports teams. I got to see a couple games this past Monday night out at the gymnasium, our JV and our varsity teams. And boy, they did a great job, and just tremendous young men. And you can really tell how development is coming when you're under pressure. Because I've often said, you can learn more about a fella in 20 minutes of basketball than 20 years of Sunday morning church. You know, you get him out there in that competitive moment, and you see, and I'm not being critical, because all of us have kind of maybe thrown a temper or something on the basketball court, but to see the young men, and they'll get a foul called on them, maybe they didn't agree with it, but they'll raise their hand in acknowledgement of it. I like that. I liken that to repentance. And the referee blows that whistle. And a lot of kids, just seems like every basketball game, professional game, they always want to yell at the referee. They always want to say, "That wasn't that way. You're blind. Put on some glasses." You know, same thing. But I like to see a young man that just puts his hand up like that. Now, they may go by later and say, "What did I do wrong?" Or "Told me how to do it better." They may try to say something. But I'm just simply saying, the spirit, the character of the young men on Monday night was a blessing. And they played hard when things didn't go exactly right. They still had a good testimony. And they are to be commended when they have that spirit. And so God speaks of this in verse 17. "Let not thine heart envy sinners." Let's not be like the world, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And you see, what we want to do, and I had a little signs back here for the choir. I don't know if they're still there, but I put them back on the entryway as the choir comes in, and it simply said this: remember, we are singing for an audience of one. And I want to remember every time I preach that the very most important person that I want to please is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that our choir is singing for the Lord Jesus. And our young people in sports, they need to remember, they're not playing for the fans. They're not playing for their girlfriend out there. They ought to be doing whatsoever they do to what? The glory of God. Amen? And that's the principle. So favoring of God's reward that comes for Christians who fear Him. "The man who fears God will not envy sinners, for the simple reason that he knows what is their past, present, and future." And there's nothing to envy in the life of a sinner who is hell-bound and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 18 about that: "For surely there is an end." In other words, it may look like they've got it all together right now, but God is keeping the record, and there will be an expectation in that life. And the sinner may seem to have fun for the season, But God knows the difference. And so we want to live with the eternal in mind. And so the student has a responsibility to apply his heart to wisdom. The student has a reward when he fears the Lord and not the sinner. God is pleased, and from his heart, he is pleased when we are honoring him. And then let's notice finally tonight the student's response. God wants us to respond to his word, and he will bless us for that. Notice verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. Now, when a student responds to the word, first of all, he's going to be guided. He's going to be guided in his life. Now, sometimes in youth work, you'll have a young person that's more of a scorner. That is, they're just casting off the teaching. And you know, that young person is their own worst enemy because they're not going to be guided. They're not going to be easily led. And oftentimes their response is negligible. But God says in verse number 19 that a son that hears, God says he will guide his heart in the way. And again, the GPS system is the heart. God wants the heart. He wants them to have a tender heart towards him. When you leave this place and go out to work tomorrow, it's important that we have a tender, sensitive heart to the Holy Spirit. When revival meeting comes and when revival meeting goes, one of the results ought to be that we are more aware of turning from sin and more aware of turning to God, and that we're following God like little children should follow God with a very tender heart. And God says, when you have that heart, I will be able to guide you and I will be able to lead you. And he says this in verse 19, I will guide thine heart in the way. When we were in the Holy Land this past June, we had a guide that took us from place to place. And that might not sound like a very important thing, but I'm going to tell you, first of all, we wouldn't know where to go, obviously. And so you need someone to tell you where these holy sites are. But secondly, as we learned, it is a dangerous place to just mosey around. There are certain hours that the Muslims were allowed on the Temple Mount. And you don't want to be up there at those hours because it could become a confrontation. There are certain times when you don't even want to go to the city of Bethlehem because there's rock throwing and rioting. And we found that the guide was calling ahead, making sure everything was okay and making sure that, you know, everyone's getting along, you know. And there are certain places you couldn't go to, like Hebron, one of the holiest sites in the Holy Land, but there have been so many acts of violence there from various Islamic terrorists that you just couldn't go there. In other words, you just couldn't get a little tourist map and go wherever you want to go. You needed a guide to help you. Even when we went into Jericho, we passed a military outpost, and there was certain days when you could and could not go into Jericho because of the rising up of the violence. And the simple fact was that it would be ludicrous to go to the Holy Land without a guide, without somebody who knew how to speak Arabic, without somebody who had contacts on the other side of the fence. Well, God says it would be ludicrous to try to live our lives without his word guiding us every single step of the way. He says, if you'll respond to me, I'll guide you from the heart. And thank God, those of you that read the word, you've been saved a while, you've got principles in your heart. And you can make right decisions at work, and you can make right decisions in your home, and you're guided from the heart. But notice, secondly, we will not only be guided, we will be guarded. Those who respond to the word of God are protected. And this is one of the hardest things to teach teenagers, because when we teach the teenagers that they should set no wicked thing before their eyes, or evil communications corrupt good manners, and we try to tell them they have good friends, a lot of times teenagers feel like they're in prison. You know, man, I'm in prison, and you hate me, and I hate church, and they'll sometimes go through those rebellious things and rebellious times. And one of the things we try to tell the teenagers, look, some of these things that we're laying down, biblical principles are behind them, number one. And number two, it's not to hurt you, it's to protect you. It's to help you. It's to guide your way. Now notice what it says in verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now God says, there are some people that I don't even want you to be among. I want you to be very careful. One of the doctrines of the Bible that is preached very, very little anymore is the old-fashioned doctrine of separation, coming out and being separate. and having a very distinctive testimony. And God says, I don't want you hanging around the wrong crowd. Again, the verse I mentioned a moment ago, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, the wrong kinds of friends will have an impact on our life, even as adults. And we all often have said, nearness is what? All right, nearness is likeness. And all of us have friends in the world, and you're doing business, we've been people in the world. But our closest friends should be God-fearing, God-honoring people so that in influence, we are being influenced by people and we are influencing people in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. God just caught the eye of a couple men in our church who are firemen. And you guys, you work 10, 12 hours and you're there in the fire station, on the fire trucks and cussing and this, that, and the other thing going on. And hopefully in that place, you're having opportunity to witness and be salt and light. But how much more important after 12 hours of that to get to the house of God? That's why I'm glad you're here tonight. Because we need to be built up and edified from the Word of God after sometimes being degraded for all that time, all the things that we hear out in the world. And so God says, I will guard you. And if we'll follow His instruction, He says, don't be among winebibbers, riotous eaters of the flesh. It's just talking about the party lifestyle is what that's speaking of. Riotous living, partying in the lifestyle. These are gluttonous and lustful types of activities that lead ultimately to what the Bible calls here drowsiness. Notice that. The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. You know, they come into work the next day after their party. They're not really getting a lot of work done, are they? And God says, I want my children to be sharp. I want them to be ready. I want them to be ready to go and ready to do what I've asked them to do. I like what Dr. Sis said Sunday morning in the message when he talked about his friend. I think it was in the coal mines, Brother Sis, if I remember correctly, or foundry, maybe you said a foundry. And he said he had that friend he was witnessing to, and he came to work on a Monday morning with a hangover. And Brother Sis said, well, I was in church Sunday morning, went out and had lunch with Christian friends Sunday afternoon, went back to church Sunday night. He said, that's what Christians do. And Dr. Sis said, and I came here, I'm feeling good this morning on a Monday morning. You know what? That's because Dr. Sis was following the counsel of the Word of God. And God was guarding him, and God was protecting him. And you see, those that reject the Word of God come to this drowsy end, and they are ultimately clothed with rags. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, notice this, in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Living our lives in the fear of God. That doesn't mean we're running around, oh, God's going to get me, God's going to get me. It just means my God is awesome and He's holy and He's everywhere and I'm going to live my life practicing His presence. Would you say those words with me? Practicing His presence. One more time. Practicing. Living your life with His presence. His presence as your constant awareness. And so it is. God says, I will give to the student who responds to me guidance, and I will give them a guardedness. I will give them a protection in their life. Now, all of us tonight need to take this attitude. You know what? I'm still a student. I still need to learn about how to have the right family life, about how to lead my family, and how to live the way the Lord wants me to live. And God says, here's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to apply your heart to what I'm saying. And God says, not only do I give you this responsibility, but He says, I want you to know I'm going to give you a reward. And if you'll follow me, I'm going to follow you and honor you. And then He says, I want you to have the right response. And if you'll respond to my word, then I'm going to guide you along the way and I'm going to guard you along the way. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible is an absolute foolproof guide and guard for the wise man or woman who follow the Word of God. You're going to be protected. You're going to live better. You're going to have God's blessing upon your life for following the Word of God. And that's why it is important to open the Word. And that's why it is important to come to the house of God. That's why it's important to open our Bibles at home. And though it may seem awkward, some of you dads are newer Christians, it may seem awkward. Let me just encourage you. There's got to be at least one verse here tonight that made absolute plain sense for you. And it'd be a great thing tomorrow morning to just say, hey, Johnny, let me tell you something that I saw in the Bible at Bible study last night that was so good. Look at this one right here about not being around winebibbers and the wrong crowd. Look at this one right here about applying our hearts toward wisdom. our son Matthew is preaching down in Fontana tonight at the chapel there. And so he will not let me help him with his messages. He will not let me do that. And he has to get those messages, but he always comes to tell me the message before he preaches it. And so he came by this afternoon and said, "All right, Dad, here's the message. I'm preaching from the book of Ruth." And I told him not to preach from the book of Ruth. I said, "Just preach from the book of James. It'll be verse by verse." But he felt like he needed to preach from the book of Ruth, you know. So he brought, man, it was a great, I mean, great message from the book of Ruth. And he was sharing it with me. And then I said, "Hey," I said, "Matt, let me share with you something that I was studying today. And it's about the sovereignty of God. And just some things the Lord was teaching me." And I had written them down on my notes there. And he just sat there and I shared with him for a few minutes. And then I said, "Let's have a word of prayer." And we prayed together and we prayed for Larry. And it was a blessing to just share for a moment some biblical principles with my son. And I told him afterwards, because a lot of times we're all busy, or you know how they're listening, but they're not really listening. But he was listening. And I just said, "Son, thanks for listening like that. God's going to honor that you listen like that." And you know, I believe that. And I believe every son should listen to the instruction of his father. But I believe all of us should listen to the instruction of our Heavenly Father. God will bless that. And I know it made me so happy as my, how old's Matt, 21? 21-year-old son sat there and as he listened. And I have to keep all that straight with Mama. You know how that is. I know it's such a blessing to me that my son would just sit there for a minute and listen. But you know what? I believe it's a blessing to our Heavenly Father that we're sitting here tonight listening. And I believe as we allow the Word to come into our heart, it'll guide and guard us even tomorrow. And so let's pray to that end.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.